بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم. This is the News and Current Affairs channel of Radio Pakistan. And you're listening to the program The Perspective. I am Ali Nasir. With me in the studio is
I'm Muhammad Shiraz.
Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know the format quite well by now, that Shiraz and I, we will spend the next 45 minutes or so discussing issues of national and international importance facing Pakistan. And we have two very important topics for you. The first, of course, being that Pakistan is committed to restore peace, stability in Afghanistan. The Foreign Office slams terrorism in all its manifestation and strongly condemns attack at the military academy in Kabul. And the second topic, of course, is that CPEC is the most visible part of the Chinese Belt and Road Initiative and all about shared prosperity of the world. This was, of course, said by the Prime Minister of Pakistan, Shaib Khaqan Abbasi. And, of course, this is in continuation, topic number one, in the continuing scourge of attacks. One was in an ambulance van that took place earlier this weekend. Before that, we had an attack at the Intercontinental Hotel Shiraz. And another one happened just today, which is at the military academy in Kabul. And a lot of questions are going to be asked on what is this current situation of intelligence gathering in Afghanistan. What is the mechanism? What is the state of affairs of the Afghan forces and their preparedness against such attacks? And what does it mean for Afghanistan when this barrage of attacks from ISIS and the Taliban are taking place? Of course, after the break, in 2 minutes, we'll have Shiraz give his thoughts on that. And of course, the second topic is also very important. CPEC, of course, the $64 billion project, which is by the accounts of Professor S. N. Iqbal, is not just a game changer but a fate changer for Pakistan. And of course, it also includes a plethora of developmental projects, ranging from the development of Gwadar, our railways, looking after our energy crisis, looking after the development of various transits and roads and so on and so forth. So we will also be talking about that. But right now what we will do is we'll go for a very short break. Once we come back, we'll be discussing the first topic.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insights into important national and international issues, with expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gawadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, voice of the nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Welcome back to Perspective. And of course, Pakistan, like all countries of the region and the world at large, expresses its grief at the spate of terrorist strikes that are taking place in Afghanistan. This time it is the military academy in Kabul. So my first question, Shiraz, to you is this, that it is in continuation. It seems like there's a winter the whole scourge of terrorism has sort of come with the dying winter, and there seems to be a very planned and orchestrated maneuver by ISIS and Taliban to sort of get use any means necessary. They're attacking the hotels in Kabul, they're using ambulances of course as a guise, and they're laying it with bombs. And now of course even the military academy is being attacked. But my question to you is slightly different. Shiraz, how do you see the intelligence gathering mechanism and the state of the Afghan forces in dealing with such operations, because they seem to be happening day in, day out, and almost on an hourly or a daily basis, unfortunately.
Well, exactly. Unfortunately, it is the case, and it's very worrisome, and obviously it needs a great deal of attention, especially from the people and the stakeholders which are there in Afghanistan. First and for the most is the Afghan government and the security forces, along with the intelligence network. Secondly, the United States of America and the allied forces sitting over there. It puts a grave question mark on the performance of all those stakeholders, international participants and other observers that what actually is taking place in Afghanistan. Because once again, you cannot blame what is taking place in Afghanistan on Pakistan, because right. that is what they're preparing for. You know, they are trying to implicate Pakistan for the negligence which they have been committing from the past many years, 17 years for that matter right now. So that is something which needs to be readdressed. I've been able to convey this, express this opinion multiple times, that the approach to resolve the conflict in Afghanistan is altogether misplaced.
Right.
That is the main thing. That because of the fact we have not been able to identify and isolate the major issues which basically prevail within the internal structure of Afghanistan, whatsoever the external stage of external involvement or interest is, regardless of that.
Right. Okay.
So if this problem is not to be addressed internally, blaming it externally will not resolve it either.
Right. Okay, so taking this thing forward, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you that 11 soldiers have died in this dastardly attack, whereas 16 soldiers are injured. And just this is the fourth attack in a week. Just on Saturday, an ambulance packed with explosive killed more than 100 people in the Chicken Street shopping area of Kabul. The Taliban had claimed the attack. And of course, in October 2017, 15 military cadets were killed in an explosion outside as they were leaving by minibus. This is in the fourth attack in Afghanistan this week. And of course, this time it is Daesh who has taken responsibility. And Pakistan, of course, has strongly condemned the terrorist attack at the military academy in Kabul. In a statement on Monday, Foreign Office spokesperson Dr. Mohammad Faisal conveyed sincere condolences at the loss of precious human lives in the attack. Reiterating Pakistan's condemnation of terrorism in all its forms and manifestations, Dr. Faisal said Pakistan emphasizes the need for concerted...
Sorry to cut in, Ali, we are joined by Dr. Abdullah Gul. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you very much, and
assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Sir, we were talking about the ongoing wave of terrorism in Afghanistan, and then the kind of failure on the security forces, which lies on the security forces which are operating in Afghanistan, especially the allied forces, United States of America. Once again, they are trying to come up with an opinion that it is not internal issues that needs to be addressed. So what do you have to say about that, sir?
Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, first of all, whatever happened, in Afghanistan is, of course, we feel sorry for that, because after all, humanity is suffering.
Right.
But at the same time, they have to put their house in order. And if, like you have just rightly mentioned, that the like forces are there, and with so much of resources, and we have seen that we have been told by the media and the Americans themselves that they can see even a fly, anywhere in the world. So why can't they see terrorist activities? It is not the first time, and it is not going to be the last time, unfortunately, because whatever is going on is being cooked at Afghan soil, not on Pakistan soil or in the neighboring countries. We have
right.
seen that how Daesh is getting stronger over there. And after 9/11, most of the terrorist organizations, they got refuge in Afghanistan. It is very strange that the presence of all the allied forces and ISAF and UN forces and right. American forces over there, and somehow or the other, they managed to hold their ground strong over there. And every passing day, the Western media and, American media is claiming that, yes, they are getting stronger. So who is at fault? It's not Pakistan. It is not the neighboring countries. The neighboring countries have already suffered a lot. But whatever has happened, just today, even at the military academy, and just 2 days back, whatever happened in Afghanistan. And before that, even the diplomatic enclave incident, which we know that it damaged Chinese embassy over there, the Turkish embassy. So how come, you know, it was not investigated? What measures they have taken? Because we know that in those areas, there are drones who are monitoring the situation. There are air balloons with complete surveillance system over there. So how come, you know, they went without any security, you know, without any security check? How come it is possible? So first of all, we have to understand. Then, you know, there are also reports that Daesh is being supported by some important countries. Then who are those countries? You know, they should be held accountable.
Right.
And on the other hand, you know, Pakistan, what Pakistan has to do with it? Pakistan always said that it should be an Afghan-owned and Afghan, you know, led dialogue. Pakistan is helping, you know, rest of the world. I am surprised that in Qatar, they are holding the dialogue with Taliban. They are holding the dialogue in Moscow. They are holding the dialogue in China, in Muscat, other places. But why not Pakistan is, you know, involved in this? Why not they say that they let the Taliban open up their office in Pakistan? Because, of course, we have given refuge to over 3.5 million people in Pakistan.
Exactly.
Pakistan has paid a very heavy price. But, you know, as we see, that this thing is uncontrollable. And we have seen that all the forces who were, you know, who joined hands over there, and after 17 years, if this is the result, then I'm sorry. This means it's a complete, utter failure of the Western forces in Afghanistan to control the menace of terrorism. First of all, that, you know, what Taliban says. Taliban wants that American forces should leave Afghanistan and they should give the date of withdrawal. Number two is that, you know, they should remove that level of terrorism. Well, you know, just for as a, you know, it's a wild thought, but I must share with you that who invaded Afghanistan? Was it, you know, Taliban who were involved in 9/11 attack? No, it was not. The planes were not provided. The air pilots were not Afghan origin. So the, you know, the basic plan which was made for 9/11 was made in Hamburg, Germany. But they invaded Afghanistan. How surprising. So this means that those who are fighting for the liberation of their country, for the sovereignty of their country, for the freedom of their country. So how come they have become terrorists? Till yesterday, they were fighting against Russia. So they were the darling Mujahideen. And Reagan himself, you know, said that, you know, these are the, you know, not Reagan, but I think maybe Reagan, yes.
It was Reagan.
Reagan
sir.
Said that these Mujahideen are the moral equivalents of our founding forefathers. And while meeting Maulvi Jalaluddin, Maulvi Yunus Khalis at that time. So how come, you know, things have changed so much? So I think now the world has to face the reality. They have to be very candid in their thoughts. It has to be discussed in United Nations and other forums. But unfortunately, United Nations is the forum which is always in support of the US policies. So let it be the SCO, which is a new organization, and the world has developed faith in this organization. Why not SCO should be the forum? Why not Pakistan should be, you know, should be told by the rest of the world that, okay, Pakistan should lead the way forward. But, you know, whenever it's time for scolding, Pakistan is the only one who is to be blamed. You know, if they cannot control our terrorists who are, you know, attacking Pakistan from Kunar, from, you know, other places of Afghanistan. So how come Pakistan isn't? Pakistan is the victim of terrorism. It is a big joke in front, you know, in front of the world. And, you know, the world, I think the world realizes it now that Pakistan, who has suffered with 123 billion economic loss, over 80,000 people, you know, they embraced Shahadat, and 10,000 were the military people.
Yes, sir.
So how come, you know, you are saying that Pakistan is with handful resources, Pakistan is, I think, Pakistan is winning in this so-called war against terror. And right. Pakistan has done wonders in the, you know, especially with related to the Fatah and all these, you know, bordering area. But we want that they should be doing something. If poppy growth is not, can't be controlled even in Afghanistan within the presence of so many countries, 50 damn countries are operating over there and they cannot even control the poppy growth. Afghanistan, which is a very small country. So how come, you know, they expect Pakistan to do anything? It is their utter failure over there. Let it be accepted by the world and let Pakistan tell the whole world that, yes, they have failed miserably over there. The most, you know, the biggest power, superpower in the world ever has, you know, has been defeated by the ragtag people over there. So they have to come up with a strategy of a dialogue. Unless or until they should initiate a healthy dialogue, but of course what they have to offer. Like I have been telling other, you know, media houses that what they can offer, you know, first of all, can they offer Taliban the presidentship in Afghanistan? The answer is a negative. What about the premiership? Not possible. The Ministry of Interior, Defense, or, you know, Foreign Affairs, or this, that, the other? No. So why Taliban must, you know, come up to a religious ministry or a, you know, ministry for forestation, they should settle down. It's not possible. And, you know, according to my information, 80% of the land is under the control of Taliban. But, of course, if we take the Western figures, then 50%. So 50% means that, of course, you have to offer the prime ministership to them. So this, this is not possible. And the second thing is very important for us to understand. It is not the Afghan government who wants that a peaceful solution of this Afghan situation should be brought up. Because they know that till the time the Western powers are there, they are in government. Otherwise, you know, Ashraf Ghani is in on record that in 3 days, I say no. In 3 hours, their government will collapse. Not just 3 days.
Right.
So now the coalition support fund, which was which they were talking about, $350 million were given to Afghan army out of $4 billion which was promised by Obama then. Now the position is very weak over there. Their allies over there, French and the Germans and others, they are also leaving one by one, or they have reduced already their forces. Look at the coalition, what took place in Iraq.
Right.
So immediately, you know, Mr. Trudeau, who is a very close ally of America, he ordered his Air Force to come back. So what is happening in the world is there is a new change coming. A new Cold War, a warm war, and a Cold War era has just started.
Yes, sir.
So we have to realize, we have to visualize the things on the basis of truth,
right,
not
sir.
On the basis of perception.
Abdullah Gul Sahab, thank you very much. We are always so indebted when you join us, but it's time now for the mid-hour news. We leave it at that. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Right, that was a very interesting conversation and a lot of points for us to discuss, but it's time now for the mid-hour news.
Mid-hour news bulletin. Prime Minister inaugurated first International Gwadar Expo and Free Trade Zone in Gwadar. Pakistan has strongly condemned terrorist attack in Kabul that left 11 soldiers dead today. Election Commission has announced schedule for Senate elections to be held on 3rd of March. Joint resistance leadership says India has turned occupied Kashmir into a slaughterhouse. In Syria, 33 people have been killed in airstrikes in Idlib province. The second semi-final of the ICC Under-19 World Cup will be played between Pakistan and India at Christchurch tomorrow.
For the headlines at the mid-hour, we'll take another short break and continue the program right after that.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Welcome back to Perspective. We are rounding off the first topic. We have another 8 minutes to go just to get Shiraz's thoughts on what Abdullah Gul Sahab said. Shiraz, Abdullah Gul Sahab raised a lot of valid points. 17 years of this war, 3.5 million Afghan refugees in Pakistan, $300 million given by the Americans just to set up the Afghan forces. With all their technology, the drones and the satellite surveillance and all, it is the fourth attack of the week. 11 soldiers have died, 16 injured. Just a few days back on Saturday, we had 100 people die in the Afghan capital when an ambulance laden with bomb was exploded. Today we've got the suicide bomber as well. ISIS and Taliban. And unfortunately, I'm talking holistically, 50 to 60% of the Afghan landmass is not in the control of Prime Minister Ashraf Ghani. What is going to happen to Afghanistan?
Yes, that is the answer to your question which you asked earlier about the failure of the intelligence. If such a large chunk of your country is out of your reach, then you can easily imagine what can take place. So they can, you know, easily maneuver around. They probably have more ways of gathering intelligence. They probably are more, in a way, at clinical when it comes to operating and executing such terrorist attacks as compared to the counter-terrorism which is being pursued by the Afghan government and the Western forces over there.
Right.
So that is very important to know. Because of the concentration of their government, the Afghan government is very limited, and it is hardly to certain areas, and you can always come up measuring those kilometers where they are, you know, and where their government is operational and where it is not. So that is clearly a very a positive and a very affirmative indicator of why the intelligence has failed always.
Okay, one more thing I'd like to have your opinion upon, Shiraz. To add to the problem of Afghanistan being ungoverned, Afghanistan also produces 90% of the heroin of the world, which amounts for almost $4 billion a year, which of course is going to these warlords to get more arms, to get more recruitment. How do you, I mean, where is the world, why is the world silent? That's a better question to ask you. One, we have the intelligence failure of these attacks, but can they not see the opium fields from their drones and their satellites? Can they not do something? I mean, the Americans are there. I mean, what do you count for the 90% of the heroin of the world is being produced by Afghanistan? What do you make of that?
Well, Ali, there is no such apparatus where you can obviously, you can say, have an eye on every person living in Afghanistan.
Right. So
that is, there was earlier on that the same is the inverse of what was taking place under the Taliban rule for that matter.
Right.
Almost 0% of poppy cultivation,
yes,
for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, and that we have seen now, it is going to be very difficult who is promoting what, because of the fact that these drug lords are one of the main reasons of the problems which exist in Afghanistan even today.
Right.
So that is, and United States of America is trying to work in hand with these warlords and drug lords to bring about a peaceful resolution in Afghanistan. So as I mentioned earlier, the approach to the problem is totally you can say wrong in its existence, you know,
yeah,
at the bud. at the grassroots level, the approach to resolve Afghan problem is obviously is not to resolve it.
Okay, one more add-on question is that in 2001, Shiraz, as you know, that 50 countries got together and they had this coalition of hundreds and thousands of troops, and we had the Tora Bora, a whole situation, the American troops there with their night vision goggles and whatnot, all the technology of the world. Right now, America seems very solitary because, as Abdullah Gul said, that even the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, has pulled out his Air Force. And there are only a few thousand troops, American presence. Mr. Trump wants to increase that for another couple of thousand, but what can a few thousand American troops do that what hundreds and thousands of coalition troops could not do in 2001?
That's going to be $1 million question, which is what does America means when it says winning the war? What does it mean when we say they want peace in Afghanistan? What does it mean when they say we want to bring back our boys, you know, home? So it needs to be. I was like, if I would have been the American policymaker for that matter, I would have never wanted to evacuate Afghanistan. Afghanistan is a landlocked country in a region which is expected to be one of the game changers in the recent future, you know. And the poles are shifting. The power poles are shifting from the west towards the east. So I would make sure that I have a foot imprint in this region, no matter what.
Right.
So I will try to sustain it. So at the moment, these initiatives which we see are taking place to bring Taliban to negotiating table, are the kind of upsurge you are talking about, the soldiers. Obviously, these are pressurizing tactics, because then again, going back to a statement, I'm totally forgetting the name of the U.S. Official who said that, but he was of the opinion that Taliban cannot win the war.
What is there left to win?
But that's the next part is, you know, dotted line in a way. Because of the fact, if they cannot win, the U.S. official did not claim that they can win it. So that's either right. Of them cannot win it.
I think Shiraz makes a very valid argument. We, of course, have seen the United States go into war after war, as far as I can list. There was one in Korea, there was one in Vietnam, which, of course, is the Achilles heel of military operations. Yes, Shiraz, you
would
like to add?
One interesting point I would like to raise over here, this deadly competition which is now taking place between Afghan Taliban and Daesh. Because they are the competitors in Afghanistan.
Yes, and that's a deadly competition.
And the previous and the ex-president of Afghanistan,
Hamid Karzai,
said that who is supporting Daesh to, you know, strengthen their foothold in Afghanistan.
I think this leaves a lot of questions that remain to be answered. Perhaps a lot of thought needs to go for the policymakers in the United States and, of course, in Afghanistan to look towards Pakistan. And as Dr. Abdullah Gul said, towards the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, we are ready to work with the Americans, we're ready to work with our Afghani brethren. And we, of course, commiserate the loss of innocent Afghanis who lost their lives today in the military academy. Pakistan stands for peace and Afghan-owned and Afghan-led peace process, and it's very unfortunate. May Allah give them the bereaved, the highest places in Jannah, and of course their family to bear the loss. It is very unfortunate. It's the fourth such attack just in 1 week. Hundreds of people in Afghanistan are losing their lives. We all pray and wish that all the world comes together to resolve the issue amicably and peacefully in Afghanistan. And on that note, we'll take another short break. Once we come back, we'll have the second topic of the day. Welcome back to Perspective, and we've moved on to the second topic. Of course, the game changer, the fate changer is CPEC in Pakistan. We have spoken about it, and even now on PTV News, we can see the Gwadar Expo 2018 taking place. It is one of the most significant changes that are taking place in Pakistan, as with the One Belt, One Road vision of Xi Jinping, Pakistan has moved from geopolitics to geoeconomics. In Pakistan today, the real talk is, how can we benefit from CPEC? The real issue is what can CPEC give to Pakistan? We are all waiting anxiously to see the reward, to see the change taking place. And the Prime Minister, Shahid Khaqan Abbasi, today, of course, inaugurated the Free Trade Zone and Gwadar Expo in Gwadar. Addressing the ceremony, the Prime Minister said this inauguration is a realization of the vision given by Chinese President Xi Jinping and former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif for developing linkage in the region. CPEC will prove to be a game changer not only for Pakistan but the entire region that will bring prosperity in the lives of the people. Highlighting the projects being executed under CPEC, Shahid Khaqan Abbasi said these include road infrastructure including motorways and development of Gwadar Port, which will connect the port with Khunjarab and other countries including the Central Asian Republics. Shiraz, we've spoken about it time and time again, but we cannot lose the significance. Let's go back 5 years, in 2012, 2013. Let's go back to a time when Pakistan was actually, honestly, in the grip of darkness. You know, we had a huge energy crippling crisis. We did not have the roads being developed as much as we've seen. We didn't see the solar parks. We didn't see Gwadar. We all wanted Gwadar to be developed. We all still want Rico Dick to, be excavated. But now, Shiraz, we're actually seeing the first early harvest programs. Today on screen, we can see the Gwadar Expo 2018. So how do you see the continuous change that CPEC is bringing to Pakistan? What is your opinion on that?
Obviously, Pakistan has gained a lot in the past many years, for that matter. You know, Pakistan has been able to deal with the security issues such as terrorism and the crippling energy crisis, which you mentioned. You know, that is obviously Pakistan has came a long way. You know, the kind of operations which we have conducted against counterterrorism operations against terrorists and the fall in the number of terrorist related violence in Pakistan is also another indicator of what Pakistan has been able to produce in the previous years, what others have not been able to replicate in their own sphere. So that is important for that matter. So this commitment and the kind of sincerity shown by Pakistan in order to not only, address its own problem, but in the process also move the world or move the region towards, a more closer and integrated economic infrastructure. That is obviously something which the region will appreciate in the upcoming years and decades, because of the fact it is not just Pakistan who is going to be the beneficiary in this regard. So, Pakistan obviously will be able to renew its infrastructure, expand its infrastructure, will also be able to renew its energy resources, yeah. Will also be able to produce skilled labor, will also be able to become at the center of the global activity, trade-related activity. Yes. All these, spillovers, which are the economic spillovers, but these economic spillovers are directly linked to the political spillovers. Eventually, they will, the idea of complex interdependence for that matter, that is going to be something which is going to be initiated.
Shiraz, my second question to you is that how do you see Pakistan moving forward in the key focal areas of development vis-a-vis CPEC? For example, right now the indicators still point that we are far behind in education, in health services. We are far behind in dealing with a lot of issues, perhaps women empowerment, perhaps, infant mortality rates are very high in Pakistan. Provision of basic health facilities are still not up to par, not even to the minimum. Do you see CPEC bringing in enough volume to Pakistan to sort of tackle these issues? Of course, infrastructure is another one, but do you see, as a person, as an expert, that Pakistan will be able to tackle this when the Gwadar port is operational, when this free trade zone is set up? How do you see that?
Well, Ali, it's a very important question because of the fact that that is the only way forward. Otherwise, we will become a platform rather than an actual corridor. That is more important. So that is what the government needs, and government, I think, is paying attention to this aspect of the CPAC as well, or One Belt, One Road for that matter, Belt and Road Initiative. Yeah. Because of the fact, without the skilled labor, without having those expertise, and then again, the most important thing is the quality of population than the quantity.
Right.
Quantity is important, but quality is even more important. So we need to set up such institutions. We need to, target those areas of a market, those areas of business areas where, CPEC is concentrating itself. So that will be going to be a something which will be the center of focus of the, for the policymakers in the upcoming years.
Right, sir. We'll be joined by Dr. Mansoor Ahmed Kundi Saab, who's an expert in CPAC. Assalamu alaikum, sir, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam, and I'm Mansoor Akbar, not Ahmed Kundi.
Apologies for that, sir. Mansoor Akbar Kundi Saab.
That's okay.
Right, sir. Five more agreements and an MOU signed between Pakistan and China to further the already existing agreements. The Gwadar Free Trade, of course, the Expo is also going on. Sir, what do you see? This is the early harvest program of CPEC. How do you see this transitioning into more and more positive results in yield for Pakistan?
Well, it's not early harvest. It's already on the way, and Gwadar will be developed as a mega project with certain collaboration of China and Pakistan, with major support of China. So it's commendable, good. But it's good, and people are focusing on that what will be the Gwadar future and the areas around, because when they enter into agreement, one thing is certain, that Baluch grievances and their speculations be not ruled out.
Good evening, sir. I'm Mohammed Shiraz. I would like to have your comment on Prime Minister's statement. He said that CPAC is most visible part of China's Belt and Road Initiative and all about shared prosperity of the world, sir. So your take on that?
I agree with him. Commendable. And it's good he went there. One thing is good about our Prime Minister, that he's participant. Unlike Nawaz Sharif, he's more participant and he speaks to the point. So he went there as a Prime Minister, and he's right, that, and one thing more, that Gwadar is our future, and China has certain interest from the development of Gwadar. But see what happens there, because there are so many problems around fresh water and development and new settlement. There is a Baloch grievances, Baloch, because the Baloch of the area are far underdeveloped.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Educationally, economically, socially, they're nice people. They have been living there for centuries. But, you know, majority of them are in boat-making business or petty business. So when they see this big project, this project can bring them, I say can bring them boon, will bring them boon, but they actually are afraid of that we will be turned into a minority and settlement will come from abroad, maybe Chinese, maybe non-Baluchi. They are their major grievances. But if the things go up, schools open, and if the sources of income,
right,
which changes their stratification, social, then they will see that things are good.
Kundi Saab, just one last question. How do you see the U.S.-India alliance vis-a-vis the Pakistan-China alliance in the building up of Gwadar and the continuity of democracy? I mean, are we entering into a new era of a different Cold War in the region, sir?
We should not. But if our interests are served, you know, Cold War era, which was from 45 to that, were far better than we are now. You know, George Kennan was American diplomat, and he was once asked a question that bipolar world and Cold War is a problem when it's over. He said, listen, it has brought peace, détente for many, mm-hmm, many small countries.
Right.
If it becomes unipolar, will be not good.
Right.
So, yes, there will be, because America and India are goody-goody. They had never been. And now Pakistan, China had been goody-goody, had been friend before and now. But let this alliance be strengthened, and we should not be dependent. Believe me, this is my humble speculation, that America had never been our friend. We are dependent. We helped them more than anybody could do it. India would never have helped them in Afghanistan as we did. We changed the international scenario. We should now become more dependent and more friendly to China and reduces our dependence on America. But it should be gradually, slowly. We should. We cannot afford sudden isolation from America, which India wants. And America knows that without Pakistani support, we will be a dead fellow in Afghanistan, which you see now. In recent past, you see how much instability has come.
Right, Kundi Saab, thank you very much for joining Radio Pakistan. Thank you, sir. Right, that was, of course, Dr. Mansoor Akbar Kundi. And he makes a very good point about detente. Shiraz, in a bipolar world, there was the United States and Russia. And now, suddenly, the world is now changing. As he said, you know, there's the rise of China, the mercurial rise of China. Not only is China developing itself, but it's also taking care of its internal situation. It's not like India, which is developing at a fast pace, but is not dealing with its internal problems vis-a-vis education and health and poverty and all that. In China, every year, millions of people are being uplifted from poverty into the middle class. What do you make of the China, America, India, Pakistan situation?
There are three parts to your question. I would say that for the first one is obviously regarding the role of China.
Right.
The first thing first, I would say that in the recent World Economic Forum, you know, the 48th, if I'm right, in Davos, China has been the one who has been playing more of a global player than United States of America. So it clearly shows that economically, when it comes to economics, China is far ahead of the United States of America as far as the policy is concerned, as far as their own vision is concerned, as far as getting other people on board is concerned. Excuse me. Secondly, the role of India. On multiple shows, I've been able to highlight the role of India when it comes to this region, you know. Previously, I asked a question to an expert regarding that why not the regional countries join hands together and get rid of the foreign forces?
Right.
Because it's the politics which is now moving towards regionalism than it was earlier on, you know. So
right.
Now we see regions getting across, you know, coming around each other in order to compete with other regions. So that is going to be important. And in that sense, India at the moment is playing a very calculated game.
Okay, calculated.
Calculated, very calculated in a way, because India is not totally siding with the United States of America. Why I say that? Because in the recent U.S. strategy towards South Asia, they wanted Indian involvement, more involvement in Afghanistan. But India denied anything beyond economic presence over there,
yeah.
Cooperation over there.
Right.
Apart from what India has been doing from Afghan soil into Pakistan, that is also an economic cooperation for that matter, you know. Economically, they are financing the troublemakers, which are terrorists in Pakistan.
Right.
So that is obviously another side to that. But India, for that matter, is trying to pressurize in order to increase its bargaining power vis-a-vis Pakistan and other regional players.
But Shiraz, my question is that in the kind of situation that we are in, we've also seen a border tension between India and China. And China has China believes in the string of pearls philosophy,
right.
And they've sort of pulled back. And they, to the best of my knowledge, they in fact called the Indian diplomats over and they said, "Look, you know, you need to pull back, and we'll also pull back because their interest is not in a confrontation with India. They're more interested in developing because I've even heard that Xiaomi, the Chinese brand, is becoming the number one brand, the telephone brand in India." Because it is overselling the likes of Apple and Samsung because of the way the Chinese do business, that they bring products at a lower price with almost the same features. So, and similarly in Africa and in other parts of the world, you see a lot of Chinese business. They go and give money and then they... Do you see, in your own hindsight, do you see India coming up to sort of match China pound for pound?
Well, I think it's not about... India is in no position to do that. Even India realizes that. So, what we see, the volume of trade between the two countries.
Right.
That is going to be the financial, you know,
yeah.
Indicators. That is more important. The volume of trade between the two countries is massive.
Yeah.
They are dependent on each other for that matter.
Right.
So that is one part of the relationship.
Right.
And other part of the relationship, which you say, is political.
Right.
Which is more linked to what you call United States of America, China, and India.
Right.
So United States of America wants somebody in the region to confront China. And there is no other best option available than India because of the history they share with China.
Right.
1962 and onwards.
Yeah.
So at the moment, India is trying to extract as much benefit from the relationship with the United States of America while keeping a controlled situation between India and China.
Right.
So that is going to be the way forward because India, I think, I have appreciated their foreign policy so far. They haven't been all in or all out.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Shiraz. And ladies and gentlemen, we've also, on this note, in the fantastic analysis by Shiraz, we've come to the end of the show. We just have three and a half, four minutes to go. And what needs to be seen, as Shiraz pointed out, is the complexity of geoeconomics and geopolitics, the complex nature of the world at the present moment, which is facing so many conflicts all at the same time. If you look at Syria, if you look at Egypt, if you look at the issue in Yemen, if you look at the issue in Iraq, if you look
and
at the, yes.
the Indian foreign policy when it came to Palestine, Jerusalem issue.
Yes. Again, what I point towards, Shiraz has very rightly pointed out, is how India sort of backed the world against Israel and the United States when it felt that that was perhaps the right way forward. So but again, then we've got Benjamin Netanyahu visiting, India, and the Prime Minister of India, Mr. Modi, who's very fond of hugging the other heads of states, went and he, in fact, broke protocol to go to the airport and receive him as soon as he stepped off the plane. So many interesting parts and parcels of the thing called politics in the world, Shiraz,
exactly.
And international relations. We leave it at that. And on a good note, we've got a fantastic match coming up tomorrow, which is Pakistan versus India in New Zealand for the under-19 World Cup that's happening over there. And of course, Pakistan have also climbed to the number one T20 ranking. So congratulations to all of Pakistan. We are once again number one, and we're only as good as the people who do the show for us. In the studio, sound engineer was Yao Rahman, the program coordinator Mudassir Hussain Rajput, program in charge Ahmed Kamal, and the chief production supervisor Mr. Javed Khanjidoon. Thank you for joining me, Shiraz.
Thank you, Ali.
Till next time, take care and Allah Hafiz.